Hello and welcome to the Food and Farming Podcast from AHDB. Thanks for listening. Managing is all about optimizing performance and outcomes, a little bit like the athletes getting ready for the Olympic Games in Tokyo. For teams and individuals, time in preparation and getting fitness levels right improves the chances of success. I'm John Bates, and in today's podcast, we look at some of the business tools and services offered by AHDB to support farmers to make the most of their circumstances. My first guest is Phil Bicknell. Phil's been on the podcast before. Welcome back, Phil.
Hi, John.
Remind listeners of what you do for the AHDB.
So I'm the Market Intelligence Director here at AHDB. So the bits that people probably most readily see from the team are the prices and the data that you see in the back of Farmers Weekly, Farmers Guardian. But we're about so much more than that. We've been leading our work around EU exit, looking at trade policy. And we've been really taking a close look at some of the farm performance attributes through the course of this year.
Now, I know that you've got a passion for ensuring that food producers use data and all that available sort of market intelligence to help them drive their businesses forward. Perhaps you could give us a bit of some examples of the MI data that you think farmers can benefit from the most.
Yeah, I think, first of all, I think, John, when we've looked at the characteristics of top performing farm businesses, there's a few relevant characteristics that come out. They're around having incremental performance. And you talked about Olympic athletes in your introduction. That ethos of the British cycling team, for instance, that tried to make a series of 1% gains that collectively added up. We know that that matters on farms. We know that farms that understand the market have a better performance level. We know that farms that actively benchmark and capture information about their own performance and measure themselves against others, again, will perform better. So from a market intelligence perspective, I think we can help in a whole host of those areas. So whether it's understanding what is happening in the market and some of the most popular things we produce are just the prices week to week, but increasingly we're looking ahead, we're putting out forecasts, we're looking at the medium to long term outlook for the farming sector. So we're putting that information out there two or three times a year in some instances. We've got tools like in dairy where we can make predictions about what price movements of milk are going to be 3 or 4 months in advance. Based on what's happening in milk commodity markets, we can give an indication of what happens at the farm level in terms of pricing. That's all valuable about making the short-term decisions that farmers have. One of the things that I've been really pleased to be involved in recent months is doing some work around performance indicators. Bottom line for me is that old maxim, if you can't measure it, how do you manage it? We know that for farm businesses, probably we have an overwhelming wealth of data and increased technology increased technology that's available from whether it's kind of machinery, whether it's the practices on farm, whether it's just the use of IT, more and more data becomes available. But it seems to me that making sense of it gets harder and harder. So being able to focus on just a few aspects of farm performance is something that we've been trying to drive and trying to focus on what makes a real difference. So for a suckler herd, it might be about looking at the percentage of your cows that calf in the first 6 weeks. For a suckler herd, it might be about age at first calving or measuring the number of calves alive after 24 hours. We know those are the kind of detailed measures that are relatively easy to pull together, that attention to detail and focus on can make a difference.
Okay, Phil. Now, performance indicators is something that you referenced there. I'd like to bring in Ben Williams at this point. Performance indicators are a matter of particular interest to you, Ben. Just remind listeners of your role at AHDB.
So I'm the Knowledge Transfer Senior Manager for Pork. And as such, I look after research and development all the way through to the actual implementation and application on farm. So turning academia into something more useful.
Okay, so let's just pick up on these key performance indicators and tell us a little bit about how they roll out across the agriculture industry.
Yeah, so Phil mentioned incremental gains, and this requires the ability to shift labour, which is often a scarce resource, from one part of the business to another. So the allocation of measures and metrics of production into four key areas that are then monitored by one key performance indicator, or KPI, allows producers to see which core elements of the business are over or underperforming. And these are the areas we either learn from or apply extra labour to. So the four areas we've split them down into are financial performance, or performance for short, productivity of the productive unit, so sow, cow, ewe, or unit of soil, yield, so how much am I physically producing and growing to sell, and then the final one is survivability, which is the flip side of course, mortality. It's the positive outcomes, the positive element for which we are paid.
That's a great setup then. Carol Davis, you work for AHDB. Just tell us a little bit about what you do, please.
Hi, John. Thanks. I work in the Farm Economics Department. I'm the lead analyst for beef, sheep and pigs, and responsible for both domestic and international farm performance information and insight.
Okay, so can you give us examples of the types of data sets that come from the different sectors?
Yes, of course. We obtain actual farm data from a range of technical or physical performance, such as yields and labour use, land use, daily life weight gains, feed conversion ratios, survivability, birth and rearing information. We also collect the related costings information. So those costs are full economic costs of production, and they'll include variable and overhead costs, such as machinery. But we also take account of the opportunity cost or value of unpaid labour and the rental value of any owned land. We collect the values of what's produced so that we can produce net margins, which is profitability, looking at the profitability and information on various production systems across various sectors. This allows us to analyse the data and provide benchmarks for the industry, and it helps us set targets as part of our KPI work. We're also members of international networks for pork, beef, lamb, dairy and crops, and that enables us to compare our cost of production and profitability with many other countries. In the case of pork, we receive physical performance data from AgriVision from their pig management systems. This information is from about 85,000 indoor sows, 80,000 outdoor sows, and around 350,000 piglets that are recorded from weaning to finish. We also obtain various financial information such as compound feed prices, various input and output prices, and internationally we're a member of Interpig, which is a network of 17 pork producing countries. In the case of beef and lamb, our performance data comes from those who participate in the AHDB benchmarking systems. That was originally Stocktake and is now Farmbench. We cover upland and lowland farms, sheep, suckler cows, and various beef production systems. And internationally, we're a member of AgriBenchmark, which is a network of 35 beef producing countries and 15 producing sheep countries.
Okay, so Carol, I think if I was a levy payer, I would say, you know, clearly you're corralling a lot of information, and that might lead me to say, so what? What value does AHDB add to all of that information to benefit the levy payer?
Well, given the breadth and depth of the information we obtain, we're able to identify what drives profitability in different production systems. And we can use that to inform our industries of where they need to focus to improve their business. For individual farmers, they get involved in our discussion groups, and that's often through our strategic and monitor farm networks. They're able to engage in detailed feedback and farmer-to-farmer learning, enabling farmers to improve their individual businesses. On a wider scale, well, examples would be the Horizon Report, Preparing for Change, the Characteristics of Top Performing Farms, which is available on the HDB website. And the key messages are the same, irrespective of which farm sector you're in. And then for some sectors, we produce sort of specialist reports. So for pigs, the Cost of Production in Selected Countries report is a key publication, which is widely accessed by industry stakeholders as it's the only source of country comparisons.
Okay, so that's the value add, that's the processing that AHDB is doing. I'll just bring Phil back in just because this is his area of expertise, just to see if he's got anything he wants to add to that. Phil Bicknell again.
Thanks, John. I think one of the kind of things that looking at around indicators, and you know, I think Ben and Carol there have kind of touched on different sectors. The level of information is different in different sectors. So pork, for instance, we've got some really established performance indicators that that farms will have been gathering for probably in many cases several, if not many years. I suppose one of the things why we've looked at in other sectors is there's some challenges around the consistency of information, the standards or the data points that are required about how those performance indicators are calculated. So one of the things we've tried to do is try to give a bit of clarity around the definitions, about standardizing some of those metrics. And even if it's just kind of making sure that you're comparing like for like, so whether it's on a per hectare basis or a ton basis, you need to make sure you've got those relevant comparison points. And being able then to get performance data that is comparable to understand where you measure up in terms of other performers has been a key attribute. And I suppose it's one of the benefits of AHDB being able to tap into that international network that Carol talked about. So we can give comparisons of how we measure up, not just on farms in the UK, but internationally as well.
Okay, Carol, can I just return to you just to explain a little bit about how the data actually reaches the levy pair?
Yes, so our data is used to provide targets in KPI Express, and that's a quick and easy tool for our sectors to use for key physical and financial performance areas. For anyone who wants to actually delve deeper into their business enterprises and really look at the detail that Phil's been talking about, because quite often the devil's in the detail, then our FarmBench tool's ideal, as it provides top 25% and mid and bottom comparisons. For pork, the performance KPIs are obtained on a quarterly basis, so that enables our levy payers to compare their performance to the wider industry. And again, those are available on our HDB website. The breeding traits database is ranked by pigs weaned per sow per year, and pig performance traits correspond to how the top 10%, 25% on average perform when the data set's ranked on feed conversion ratio. Recently, we have provided information to governments for various international trade negotiations. And during 2020, we also provided data to the government to enable support to be provided to levy payers who struggled at particular times, such as dairy farmers. Our data pops up in various HDB publications, and we get regular requests from industry stakeholders for information and analysis. Industry stakeholders such as vets, agronomists and consultants regularly source and use our information and our insights to enable them to advise their individual farming clients. And individual levy payers also receive our information and insights via HDB publications, the website, and via our numerous online and on-farm events. The beef, lamb and pork benchmarks and cost of production information can be found on the HDB website under Markets and Prices tab, and then by selecting the relevant sector. Or you can also use Google and enter the sector and add cost of production and performance, and the search engines will take you to the relevant HDB pages.
Excellent, Carol. Thank you very much indeed. Listeners, just to remind you then that we're talking about four KPIs. We're talking about the financial performance, productivity and yield and survivability. So let's pick up on the all important finance and yield aspects of all of this. And I'd like to introduce Bethan Wilkins. Bethan, welcome to the podcast. Tell our listeners a little bit about what you do.
Hi, John. So, yes, I work in the market specialist section of the market intelligence bit of AHDB. And I really work to look at all the data and trends around the market stats that we have and then put some commentary on that to help the farmers and growers understand a little bit more about what's going on in the market overall. So I particularly specialise in the pork sector. So I look at a lot of the statistics around that sector.
Okay, so I think from a listener's point of view, then this is all about sort of prices and specification data. Can you give us an example of the types of data that you work with in the different sectors?
Particularly for pork, then we have a range of statistics that are produced within AHDB. So, for example, we have average pig prices for Great Britain, and particularly people will within that sector be familiar with the SPP or the standard pig price. Also, we produce estimates for weekly slaughter figures based on the numbers going through that SPP sample every week. And we keep a track of carcass weights as well within that. So the producers can see how those trends are playing out on a British sort of scale. And as well as the data that we're producing within AHDB, we do also produce commentary around some third-party data as well. So we'd be looking at production statistics for produced from DEFRA and also international trade data from HMRC, as well as global trends as well, because, of course, our sectors don't operate within a vacuum. You know, with international trade, it's important that we keep an eye on what's going on globally as well.
Okay, so in these podcasts, I play the role of the levy payer's friend. So just tell us, how's this data of use to farmers and food producers?
Yeah, so really on a day-to-day basis, it's quite useful for the producers to be able to see how their individual business sort of stacks up against the national average, really. So you might be looking at your prices and seeing how they compare to the average across Britain overall. And similarly for things like carcass weights, you know, you want to see how you're comparing to other people nationally for that as well. I think perhaps even more importantly, though, is that the commentary that we add around these figures, it gives an indication of perhaps where the market and where the trends are going to be going in the coming weeks and months. And particularly here, we produce twice a year, we do an Agri-Market Outlook publication. And here, so for pigs, for example, we would be doing a forecast for slaughter numbers in the coming year and also trade figures to give an idea of what sort of supply level we're going to have on the national market. And from there, you can get an indication of maybe what price trends are likely to be. So with this in mind, that's quite useful for producers to be able to, if they're thinking about making perhaps investment decisions, for example, with that in mind, it's useful, obviously, to be able to see what the market's likely to be like in the coming weeks and months.
So when all the numbers are crunched, this all obviously gets put into a readable format as far as levy payers are concerned. After all, you know, they're not all economists. So how does the data reach levy payers how do they access it?
Yeah, absolutely. So we try to offer a range of different ways in which readers can digest this information. So on the website, there is a section for the market intelligence information, and there's a lot of articles and just data there if people are more interested in downloading that to look at for themselves. So they can find that all on our website. Also, every week we have the Port Weekly email, and they will see the latest articles that our team have produced in there, along with some key statistics at the top. And of course, another outlet we like to do is little videos. So we have Pork Talk. That is our video series that we produce every month, in which we'll talk about what is a particularly pertinent market issue at the time. And that's just a couple of minutes there, so something that's easily digestible if people aren't too keen to read through lots of information. And of course, you're likely to see our information in third party publications too. Particularly Pigworld does like to pick up quite a lot of what we put out from MI on the pork side of things.
Sorry, Phil, you wanted to jump in?
Yeah, John, I'm really proud of the kind of reach we have across our market intelligence stuff. So we reckon that somebody's accessing the market intelligence part of the HDB website about every 7 seconds. So that generates millions of hits over the course of a year. We've got 46,000 subscribers to our market intelligence publications, most of those hitting inboxes every week. And typically the team will be out and about fairly regularly as well. So COVID has probably put a bit of a spanner in the works, but we've been able to have a tremendous digital engagement over the last year. Really looking forward to getting out and about, but typically we'll get in front of about 10 to 12,000 levy payers and stakeholders over the course of 12 months.
Okay, so if you're a listener and you're a little bit cynical about all of this stuff, then that information that Phil's just given us shows that there are a lot of people that are actively seeking out this information and presumably using that to better their business. The next KPI that we were going to go on to speak about is survivability or minimizing livestock mortality. Jenny Newman's going to join us now. Jenny, just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, John. Yes, I'm Jenny Newman from the Animal Health and Welfare team. Myself and a colleague, Matthew, manage all the data sets within our team for the pork sector. We have quite a few tools for our pork levy payers, and such as the Pig Health Scheme, which measures post-mortem conditions in assessments at abattoirs, the Significant Diseases Charter, where producers can sign up and they can get early warnings of disease outbreaks in their area, which is essential so that they know that they can boost their biosecurity to prevent disease actually coming onto farm. We have the Real Welfare System, where vets go on farms 3 times a year and assess the animals for welfare outcomes such as lameness and body marks, tail biting. And then we have the Electronic Medicine Book for Pigs, EMB, which collects antibiotic use data. Now, this allows farmers to assess and benchmark their use, and it's been necessary because the pig sector has traditionally been a high user of antibiotics, but it's been a complete success story because we have 95% coverage. We've seen a 62% reduction in use since 2015. And this is essential for our sort of future responsible use of antibiotics.
Okay, Jenny. So so what we've got is we've clearly got quantity, but we've also got quality. So this is really good information. Tell us an example of the types of data sets from the different sectors.
Mostly I'm focusing on the pig side because that's where I work. So I talked earlier about the Pig Health Scheme. So what we assess in the Pig Health Scheme is we assess pigs in the abattoir for 12 different indications of 12 different diseases. And then users can look at their reports, and they are benchmarked against the industry. So they can look for patterns of disease, and actually it kind of gives them an indication of their herd health so that they can tackle disease earlier on before it becomes a problem. Similarly, the Real Welfare Scheme looks at levels of lameness, of body marks, of tail biting, and it allows the farmer again to benchmark against other farms, but to sort of see whether there might be patterns in issues. Is, you know, this, it allows them to build up a picture of what is happening with their animals.
I mean, obviously, survivability, getting animals to the right weight, the right age, and the right specification is really important. So, how can producers get involved with, minimising the risks that are around animals surviving to the right point?
Well, I would say that biosecurity is key. Don't let the disease on farm. Healthy pigs are more likely to survive, so yeah, we'll minimise the disease risks. The data we provide allows the farmer to discuss and bring up a sort of a health plan with their vet. The vet is key in this relationship. We can't replace the professional knowledge, but we can provide data for the farmer and the vet to make informed decisions.
Ben Williams now, perhaps I could just return to you. In this podcast, we've obviously covered a lot of ground. Where do levy payers and people who've got more questions, people who want to find out more, where can they go for more information?
So across AHDB, as Phil alluded to and our presenters have alluded to, we offer a whole range of services where we are out meeting levy payers. So from discussion groups and events at Strategic Farms, Monitor Farms and broader digital online events, it's well worth checking out the events calendar to see what's coming up soon. Of course, they can reach out to their local AHDB representatives, so their knowledge exchange managers within the region. They could contact myself through through my email address, ben.williams@ahdb.org.uk. Or, of course, we have a growing knowledge library and series of resources, and resources that, that Carol and Bethan, Phil and Jenny have all alluded to, they all link through from the knowledge library. So if you're stuck in a particular area, you want to make a difference, if you Google what your problem is, hopefully you'll land up at the AHDB knowledge library, and that will signpost you through to tools, services, and that base information that will get you started.
Okay, Ben, thank you very much. So there's lots of practical help available. There's lots of resources all on the AHDB website, ahdb.org.uk. Many thanks to my guests, and I hope, listeners, you found that interesting. And if you want more information, just to repeat, go to the AHDB website. If you want to get in touch, you can email me. Any thoughts or ideas about this episode, or any opinions that you want to share, suggestions for future episodes. My email is john.bates@ahdb.org.uk. Or you can reach us via the website, ahdb.org.uk. Thank you to podcast producer Aisha Shepman. Stay safe, stay well. I'm John Bates. Thanks for listening.